Morning, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to be with you this morning, if only virtually. I know most of you don't know me well. Some of you don't know me at all. Some of you have actually never seen me. So let me introduce myself. My name is Dr. Todd Statham. I'm the Christian Reformed campus pastor at the University of British Columbia's campus in the Okanagan. And I'm a missionary of this class, of your congregation, to the students and the faculty at UBC, which is a really important mission field, and I'm so grateful for your congregation's support for making this ministry possible. It's always a bit weird to introduce yourself virtually. That's kind of how it is these days, isn't it? If you were in front of me in the church building, I could see your faces, I could gauge your reaction, but not anymore. So I've got no idea what kind of impression I'm making on you. Maybe you're thinking as you're listening to me, yikes, is this Todd's living room? It's not. I don't have a large cross in my house. I'm recording actually from the local Christian Reformed Church in Kelowna, and they don't provide me with hair and makeup. So what you see, what you get. I'm just aware that I'm making an impression on you, a first impression for many. We know that first impressions are really important. What about you? Do you make a good first impression on people generally? What about your church? What kind of impression does your congregation make on people in the community who might drop by online or, God willing, in the future, physically drop by? What kind of first impression you make? I think a lot about first impressions in the season of Pentecost, these weeks after Pentecost Sunday. I know that in your church you read the Pentecost story on Pentecost Sunday, that story where the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh. Did you notice when you read that story the first impression that people had of the church, of Christ's followers? Read it like this. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" The Spirit of God is poured out on Jesus' followers. The ascended Christ comes upon them in power in his Spirit, enabling them to praise God and to testify to Jesus in different languages. And the first impression that outsiders have of the church is that we are one people made up of many languages and many nations. That's their first impression. It's not that we're good people. It's not that we have incredible spiritual power. It's not that we're particularly holy. It's not that we have great worship music. Their first impression is that we're one people made up of many peoples. We don't often notice this when we read this incredible story from the book of Acts, but the bystanders in Jerusalem on that Pentecost Sunday, they sure did. That's what they noticed. And that was this last verse on the screen. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" What does this mean? That's what I want to focus on in this very short message this morning. This first impression made on outsiders by the Church of Jesus Christ. What does it mean that the Spirit's presence among believers is showing that nations and cultures are becoming one? Together, these nations and cultures are witnessing in a powerful way the salvation of God. What does all this mean? You know that God's plan all along from the very beginning was to bring people from every tongue and tribe into his kingdom. This is the story that's told in the Bible, and I know that some of you know this story very well. God chooses a single family from among all the families on earth. He promises that through this family, Abraham and Sarah, the whole world would be blessed through them. This is the part of the Bible we call the Old Testament. This family is Israel. They are to be a light to the nations. It's into this family that God's own Son is born as Jesus. This is the part of the Bible we call the New Testament. Jesus is the light of the world. God's plan to forgive and reconcile the world to himself through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ always has all peoples in view. So when we get to the book of Acts, it tells the story of the first years of the church. The Spirit of the ascended Christ poured out on a group of followers who themselves come from this little backwoods corner of the world, Galilee. But now, overwhelmed by the Spirit, they speak in all kinds of foreign languages. What does this mean? It means that God's mission is building momentum. You know the famous verse, John 3:16. God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will live forever. John 3:16, God loved the world. The cosmos is the word in Greek. The earliest followers of Jesus recognized that if God loved the world, the cosmos, so much that he sent his Son, then his Spirit would create a cosmopolitan people, a people of many nations. That's why we find in the book of Acts, a couple chapters later, one of the most important stories in the New Testament, although it's a story we often don't pay attention to. I want to draw your attention to it this morning, though. It's on the screen. I'll read it. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus, Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, that is, the Gentiles, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Yeah, okay, so at first glance, this passage doesn't seem that important. It might even feel a little bit dull as you read it, unless you're really into geography and you love hearing about place names on a map. But when we lay this story over a map, something very exciting comes into view. Take a look at this map. So Cyprus is a Mediterranean island, and it's part of Europe. Cyrene is a province in North Africa. So we have Jewish followers of Jesus who are from Europe and Africa. And together they meet in the great metropolis of Antioch, which is in Asia. I love this. The very first time in history where the word Christian is used, we see three continents coming together as the one people of God. Asia, Africa, Europe. Three continents, one church, and from there they take the good news to the whole world. This is significant, isn't it? This is significant. This is the Pentecostal church, not the Pentecostal church across the street from your church. Church living the reality of Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit on all nations, making one people in which there are no more insiders and outsiders. Us and them, it's just the people of God. So what do you think? Do you think a Christian Reformed church could be this kind of church? Can we be Pentecostal? Now don't turn off your screen. I just mean it in the real sense of the word. Can we be Pentecostal in that we're living the reality of Pentecost, a church where the Spirit of God is bringing all nations into one people in Jesus? I want to say absolutely we can. And I want to add that this biblical vision isn't just a policy of multiculturalism, like what our government might encourage. It's something much deeper, much more profound. It's a vision of the world that God wants and that he's making. As you know that our world is deeply broken. If you turn on the news right now, see what's happening in Hong Kong, Minneapolis, in parts of Canada even. You know that there's deep divisions running between cultures and nations, between races, and between individual human hearts. And there's walls that have created mistrust, enmity, even hatred. This is not the world God wants. It's not the world God made. It's the world that we have made as sinners. God loves this world. He wants to heal it. He wants to make it whole. And he does this through Jesus, whose cross and resurrection make peace between us and God, between you and me, and between us and them. And the Spirit brings this peace to us. When we're gifted with this peace, something wonderful happens. God's people witness to the unity that the peace of God brings. We become a living sign in this world of the redemption of God. We're a witness, a powerful witness to the reign of Jesus Christ, who is renewing all things. That's what staggered those bystanders in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday, as they heard Christians speaking in foreign tongues. That's what astounded people in the city of Antioch, as they see Africans and Asians and Europeans coming together to worship Jesus. They were hearing and seeing healing of their world through Jesus Christ. One of our newest Reformed confessions is called the Belhar Confession, and the Christian Reformed Church adopted this confession in 2017 as a testimony of faith. It's a confession that comes out of the context of South Africa during apartheid, when churches were divided on racial lines between black, white, and colored. Racial lines, and that also meant socioeconomic lines. This confession says this. Let me read it for you. Unity must become visible that the world may believe that separation, enmity, and hatred between people and groups is sin, which Christ has already conquered, and accordingly, that anything that threatens this unity may have no place in the church and must be resisted. I love how this confession puts it. Unity must become visible because Jesus has already conquered. We just need to point this victory which has already taken place. How can we in the Christian Reformed Church point? How do we make visible the victory of Jesus Christ, which brings peace and unity over sin, hatred, and division? How do we make visible the Spirit's mission to restore the whole world through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I know these are big questions, and I'm not even going to try to answer them this morning. They're the kind of questions we need to wrestle with individually and as a congregation and as a denomination. But we do need to wrestle with them. I just want to say I'm encouraged by what we're already doing as a denomination to celebrate and point to the victory of Jesus over division, hatred, and enmity. You know, through Resonate, we've got missionaries working all around the world bringing the good news. Here in BC, we know that as a church, we support seafarers, which minister to sailors who are on the high seas traveling through the port of Vancouver, coming from all around the globe. And our church supports campus ministers like me. About 30% of my work is actually with international students. And in fact, this summer, I've put together a program with my wife to use her horses, her equine therapy practice, to do pastoral therapy and care with international students who are struggling with anxiety, depression, loneliness brought on by the COVID crisis. These are all ways that our denomination and your church is taking part in God's mission to heal the world, bring unity, sow peace. What about your congregation itself? Are we making visible the reconciling love of God for the whole world? Are we a sign of the Pentecostal power of the Spirit? Are we a church where all races are welcome, where all people can come and find home? I know some of you are thinking, hold on, Todd, we're already a multicultural church. We've got people of Dutch background and Frisian background worshiping together. Now, let's try. I am new to the Christian Reformed Church, but that's not good enough for me. Dutch and Frisian, yes, I know they're important. But really, if someone came to our church for the first time or tuned in online, is their very first impression of us that we're a place where separation, enmity, and division have been overcome by Jesus Christ? We are visible witnesses to this. This has already happened in the work of Jesus. We need to catch up to it. Thankfully, we have the power of the Spirit to make us open, to challenge us, to help us to become hospitable, to grow and flex. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's possible. In fact, I'm saying more than that. I'm saying it's already happened in Jesus. We need to catch up. When this happens, something wonderful comes into view. Let me close with this short story, just to try to make my point. I've gotten to know a friend on campus, on the UBC campus, who's a professor, and he's originally from China. He came to Canada as an undergraduate to study science at Simon Fraser. And coming from China, he didn't know anything about God. He'd never read the Bible. He'd heard only a little bit about Christianity. And he wasn't really interested in any of these things. And then one day, someone in his residence invited him to a Bible study. And he went because he was interested in making some friends. He went to this Bible study, which was pitched to students who were largely from the Asian continent. And everybody welcomed him. And they introduced themselves, and they said where they were from. They were Koreans. There were people from Singapore. There were a few people from Vietnam. There were lots of students there from China. And then right beside these Chinese students, there were students from Hong Kong. And there were students from Taiwan. If you know anything about what's happening in the world or what's happened recently, you know that there's great dissonance and enmity between mainland China and Taiwan. Mainland China and Hong Kong. This Chinese student walks into this room and he sees Taiwanese, Hong Kong, Chinese people sitting together, reading the Bible together, praying together, loving each other. My friend was telling me, he says, when I saw this, I still didn't know anything about God. I still didn't know anything about the Bible. This was my first impression, and I knew something amazing was going on in this group of people. So I stuck around. Eventually, this guy actually becomes a Christian, and he gets baptized, and now he and I collaborate on all sorts of international student events to try to reach non-Christian students at UBC Okanagan. It's wonderful, but again, his first impression of this group of Christians is a Pentecostal moment. It's seeing all these races and nations coming together as one people in Jesus Christ. It inspires me, and it makes me think, what if people's first impression of our Christian Reformed churches is of something like that? That they're amazed when they come in here. They'll say, what does this mean? And then maybe like my friend, I'm going to stick around, find out the answer. God willing. God bless, and thank you.